With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shot YouTube channel and podcast. And we are back with yet another match reaction. It is myself, your host, Chris, joined by Scott and Daryl. The three of us were also there for the match preview as well. So we'll go back and have a little bit look over our predictions as well and what we came up with and how wrong were we. But boys, it is another St. James's Park victory. Unfortunately, has sent Sheffield United down, but like we mentioned on the match preview, that is was kind of inevitable, and we're just waiting for that game to arrive for Sheffield. But I want to start with the start and lineup, Darren. I'll come to you. In the match preview, we looked over certain changes Eddie Howe could make, and we're saying there wasn't much option there really. And if he was going to change things, he would have to change the formation in the process as well. We saw exactly that. Daryl, didn't we? So obviously Dubravka keeps his place. Fabian Shaw keep their centre-back partnership, but then we'll go four at the back with Tino coming in at the right and Hall coming in at the left-back. A couple of shocks with probably Murphy starting, I think, in the match preview. We thought that Gordon would go on the right and Barnes would stay on the left-hand side, but obviously wasn't the case. Eddie Howe overall, he's made the right decision there, Daryl, like we mentioned in the match preview, but it was a difficult start for the lads, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We really struggled to come out with the traps from the first whistle. And Sheffield United, credit to them, they were all over us and they really pressed us very well. And you know, it was a struggle for the boys. And I don't know if it was just them readjusting back to being a back four or otherwise, but you know, they pretty much shocked us with an early goal at Sheffield United. And you know, I said in the match preview that I didn't really want to see Murphy start, and then I was quite surprised that he did, as you mentioned there. And, you know, a lot of the things seemed to, like, we were trying to use that side of the pitch to be creative in the first half, and as much as he did eventually get an assist for Isak to bring a level, there was a lot of times where there just wasn't that communication, and he just wasn't, you know, that side seemed to not be linking up very well. You had Murphy, you had Longstaff, you had, you know, there's just something not quite right. There's a little bit of imbalance down there. And you know, for all intents and purposes, we really rode our luck at times as well. You know, they had shot after shot, and we just weren't able to cope with the amount of bodies that they were flooding into the box. And I think, you know, as much as we went in at half time level, we were really lucky not to be three or four or five down.
I think it was a case of Dan Byrne to the rescue, Scott. Dan Byrne has had a lot of criticism when he's been playing on that left hand side, but once again, we'll see him back in his natural position at centre back. And the last-ditch tackles and defensive blocks, which he made in that first half, that was crucial to us staying in the game because Diaz was through on goal. Burn clears that one off the line. There's a couple more. There's I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that something wasn't right with Fabian Shaw. You could see from the first couple of minutes that he wasn't comfortable. And I think around about the 15th minute or thereabouts, he was asking to come off. He was asking to be substituted off, and Emile Kraft had his shirt on, ready to come on. But then when that substitution was ready to come on, Fabian decides that, I'm going to stay on for a bit longer. But you could tell straight away, Fabian wasn't right, Scott.
Yeah, he got done for pace pretty early on, and they were in and they were through, and it was Dan Burn at the rescue. He put a good block in to stop the shot, and you know, you saw Dubravka kind of, you know, congratulate him, because I think, you know, it was probably a goal scoring opportunity. Well, it would have been a goal scoring opportunity if it wasn't for Burn. To go back to the lineup, I think my biggest surprise was Tino Livramento starting. Because, you know, Eddie Howe telling Porky Pies again in his press conference saying that he's not ready and, you know, you'd be rested. And then there he is playing a full 90 minutes. I don't think he came off even. Or did he come off for Richie? Maybe he's, I can't remember now, because Kraft was on the field. But he did come on, didn't he? Hall came off. Tino Livramento starting was a big shock for me. I think the idea probably would have been to bring Kraft on for Tino later on in the game. But as you've said, Shaw wasn't playing to 100%. I think maybe the mistake was to leave Shaw on. They should have pulled him off when they were going to, because he did kind of get done again a couple of times later on in that first half. And, you know, I think it was a first half to forget. You know, it was a honking performance, to coin a phrase from the Always Smiling Faces podcast. You've used that quite a lot, but it was very, very poor. And, you know, the first goal was... It was a shock to everyone. I think it silenced the crowd. You could hear that audibly on the broadcast. I think it was a shock to the players on the pitch as well. And to be honest, I think it was kind of a shock to Sheffield United. I don't think they were expecting to score so quick in the game. But it spurred them on. And they were just attack after attack after attack in that first half. And they kind of saw weakness in Fabian Schär. They saw he wasn't right. And they were just hitting that same ball. That I can't remember who it was. I think he said it was Diaz, was just exploiting the fact that Schär wasn't to himself. He wasn't as fast as Diaz, and he was getting in time and time again. But like I say, it was a first half man of the match performance. I don't know if they were giving out first half man of the match performance awards, but first half man of the match performance definitely to Dan Burn, and he should be credited for it because he was outstanding. He was our player of that half by a long, long mile.
He really was. One of the annoying things which we saw, Daryl, is in that first half, every single corner which came into the box, we knew what was going to happen as a fan base, because it was just going to the back post, and there was two or three open every single time. And you could see that Dubravka was furious at this. And there was a time later on in that first half where the midfield is just nowhere to be seen. It's just empty. That, once again, that pocket of space, which we'll keep going back to, where Joel Linton normally fills that void because he's all over the field. It was just so obvious. We could see that no matter where you sat on the ground, you could see that. And like Scott said, they were just bypassing the midfield and the same ball every single time. And Dubravka, and I know Dubravka has had a lot of criticism recently, some of it rightly so, okay? The chance later on where it comes... Actually, it might be the goal where it comes from a corner, and people are screaming for Dubravka to come and collect that ball from Diaz once again. But he's miles away. There's no way he can come out. And obviously, people have seen the highlights back and watched Match of the Day. But they show a great angle for that, and there's no way he's getting that ball. Not a chance in hell he's getting anywhere near that. But Dubravka, he was screaming at the players in front of him numerous times. He was not happy. Yeah. But once again, we just didn't adjust to those set pieces, because every single time, back post, and they had umpteen chances. And like Scott mentioned, they could have been three or four up in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to give them credit for that as well. You know, the Sheffield United set pieces were working to an absolute T, and they really, really exposed our weaknesses in that position as well. You know, they were playing that short corner every single time. So the onus would have been on us to try and track that first man, because it wasn't just a case of passing it out and then passing it back to the corner taker. It was a two-pass move. And they had, I think it was Ben Hamer was out on the left wing to put them balls in. And every time, you saw it a good three, four times, and it would be that short corner would be played, excuse me, and there'd be nobody tracking the first man, and there was nobody tracking Ben Hamer either. And by the time somebody was able to move out of him, he's already putting the ball in. And I think, as you mentioned about Martin Dubravka not collecting that ball, I think the thing I would defend on that as well is that, because if it had been an in-swinging ball rather than, like, sorry, it was, trying to think, in-swing and out, it's the difference between an in-swing and an out-swing, because it's coming in from sort of like the wrong side. And so it's an in-swinger, and it's coming in on the right foot rather than the left from that side. It really makes it more difficult for the keeper to come and collect, whereas the keeper can track the ball if it's coming in the other way around. And, you know, like you say, that it really exposes a couple of times. And in terms of the midfield, I think it was the second Dan Burn block where it was pretty much a straight ball, was just played through the middle. And it was Diaz who then went round Dubravka. And fortunately for us at that point, Dan Burn was there to put the block in, because he was going to score. It was an open goal.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, Dan Byrne to the rescue that first half. I think that sums up the first half. What I did want to mention, though, because obviously, like we said, we're shocked to see Murphy start ahead of Barnes, really. And that assist that he puts on a... I'm going to say put on a plate for Isak, but it's not necessarily on a plate, because Isak, on the highlights of Match of the Day, I didn't realise this. So Isak goes to make the run, first of all. Then he's offside because the ball doesn't get played. Yep. Then he just dips back in between the two defenders and does the exact same run again. And the through ball from Murphy is pinpoint. It's spectacular. And that finish from Isak, it's not an easy finish. Every single week I'm sat here and I'm saying, how good is Isak? How good is Alexander? And he's the best. He is literally the best striker we've had at this football club for a long time. And we've been blessed with some talents up top for us. But he's up there, Scott. He really is.
He is. I mean, it's the angle as well. I mean, you've got to look at where he is in the box. He's at the corner of the 6-yard box, and he somehow manages to find the back of the net. The run, like you've said, he does run offside, he comes back, and he just goes again. He's got the pace to do that. He's got two defenders around him, and he's managed to get the ball, compose himself. I know Rio Ferdinand was talking to me, I think it was in the Tottenham game when he scored, and he was like, what do you think about that? And he's like, it's all just a blur, and it's just all going so fast, it doesn't slow down. So, you know, God knows what's going through his head. I do want to say on Murphy, that probably was only one of the only decent passes he played in that first half. His crossing was honking for that entire game, to be honest. He was putting it always and rosetting and everywhere. But credit to him, he did play a good ball there. I think having Tino on the overlap really helped him, because the
Tino
defenders didn't really know what to do. They didn't know whether to go for Isak or where to play the ball. So, you know, it opened up that space for him to play that ball in. It was really, really clever running from Tino. But yeah, I mean, I think that goal, I think if I remember rightly, Ferdinand in the Tottenham game said to Isak, if you score one more, you've now scored the most goals from any Swede in a single season of a Premier League, overtaking Zlatan. And he's now, obviously, we know he's scored two because he scored another one that game. So he's now surpassed that record. So he's now the most scoring Swede in a Premier League season, surpassed by two. So, and he's got, what, four games to go, so yeah, he can smash that record, and then some, and he'll do it again next season. You know, it's nice to say. Is he on 18?
19 now.
When's the last time we've had a player score that many goals in Premier League goals as well in a single season? I mean, I think it's
there's only one.
Is it Shearer?
You're going way back.
I do have this stat. So Isak has scored 19 Premier League goals this season. Obviously, we know that he scored two this game. The most by any Newcastle United player in a single top flight campaign since Alan Shearer in the 2003-2004 season. He scored 22 goals that season.
Nine next season.
he's bloody fantastic, and he's only one goal behind Golden Boot. That there's quite a cluster of players there. You've got him and Watkins, I believe, on 19. Then you've got Cole Palmer on 20, and I can't remember who the other one is on 20.
Holland.
Is it Holland? Of course it is.
It's Holland.
So you could tell later in the game, and we'll touch on this a little bit more detail, But the lads were desperate to, one, get him on a hat-trick and obviously get his goal tally up as well. But you, we'll get on that later on. Yeah. Daryl, I think when we came in at half-time, everybody was thankful for that. I think we wanted to get in at half-time. We wanted to reassess the situation and basically light a fire under the lads, because it was a poor first half. It really was. Hadn't really changed much from that Crystal Palace game.
Yeah.
We're losing possession left, right and centre, despite what the stats say later on in the game. That pass completion, Scott, was 80-something percent, wasn't it?
86% pass accuracy at the end of the game. I don't know where that's come from, but yeah.
Well, first off, it didn't look like we could string a pass together. But like I said, Daryl, as the lads came back out the second half, you could see, obviously, the change was made. Fabian went off, Emil Kraft came on, and basically instantly, foot on the gas, right, our half now. Then obviously Bruno gets his goal in the 56th minute or thereabouts, 56th minute. And you could tell at that point, this is when it turns, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we can count ourselves fortunate to have gone in half-time level. And as Eddie Howe said in his post-match press conferences, that he needed to get the players regrouped, as you said. And, excuse me. And he definitely managed to do that as well. And to win the free kick the way we did as well, it was Tino who was fouled close to the edge of the box. And I wasn't sure who was going to take it at first, because you had Hull over it and you had Gordon, and Gordon puts a great ball into that back post. And there was a little bit of pushing and shoving just before the free kick was taken. I think Bruno just gives Diaz a shove out the way just to free up some space. And then for whatever reason, Diaz then doesn't stick with Bruno, who's his man, and starts focusing, I think, on Anderson, who's the man in front. And that just leaves Bruno in eight as a space. And I tell you what, how many times have we seen Bruno score a diving header? Because it's not the first time.
He loves it,
doesn't
he?
That was not the first time. And it was such a good header. And I have to also mention his reaction and his celebration with the corner flag right in front of you in that very corner, because it must have been great from that angle that you had.
Yeah, so Bruno, I think as he's going on the season, he's just trying to see what other celebrations he can do. Obviously, most players will have a trademark celebration. Bruno, he does the A sign that we'll all know for Arthur, isn't it, Daryl?
And yeah, that's right.
He just throws a couple of random ones in there. Now, he don't know if he's celebrating, which was quite a muted celebration, to be fair, because the lads were quickly around him. But then whenever he started walking away, he just thought, I'm just going to go back and pick this corner flag up. And he's just stood with the corner flag. He absolutely loves it. And you know what? Just to mention Bruno, the display from all flags, once again, yeah. It's been a little while since we've seen a big display like that from the lads. And obviously the message which was there for both Bruno and Joe Linton, basically home away from home, being Newcastle upon Tyne. And it was great. And deservedly so, obviously, with that display, he gets on the score sheet as well. Bruno's came out afterwards and paid credit to everybody involved with that display as well, and rightly so. But yeah, like I said, as soon as he gets on that score sheet, and it's, you know which way the game's going to go, really.
Yeah.
I like you know, it was my little one's first game there. Got tickets, got him in the side near me. And you know what it is? Like, he's quite a shy kid, and when the goal started going in, he was absolutely loving it. Isaac had a shot. It is. Isaac had a shot in the first half, which goes wide, really close. And me and Mark, obviously Mark sits near us, are like this, head in hand. And like, we look over, all right, and he's doing exactly the same. it was great. And obviously, as the goals go in, it was fantastic game for him to class as his first game as well. It was great, honestly. He left the game buzzing. And the weirdest thing, Daryl, you know, because you were there with us before kickoff, his score prediction was 4-1. And I even asked him which goal scorers were going to be. And he said Isak would get two, Bruno would get one, and Wilson would get one. He's absolutely nailed the goal scorers as well. Now, I don't know how he's managed to do that, but he's absolutely nailed it. But
yeah,
it was a special little moment. So, Daryl, as soon as we see Bruno's goal go in, you know the game. Back in our court, this is ours for the taking now.
Yeah, I mean, that goal from Bruno just absolutely killed Sheffield United dead, and it just sucked every ounce of, you know, positive. Like, it just sucked their momentum out, and they just crumbled. The one thing I just want to quickly mention about that Bruno celebration is, as well, he was just a shirt short of going full Tino Asprey with that corner flag. Just so close to just repeating that. But as soon as that goal went in, there was a change in the Sheffield United mentality. You could just see it straight away, and their confidence just went, just drained away. And then it was pretty much plain sailing for us after that. And we just, it doesn't take much from the period between the second and third goals, because it's Mason Holgate, I think, right back, who Anthony Gordon catches out in possession really quick. He does so well. He comes out of nowhere, really. I think if I was Mason Holgate, I'd be wondering where the hell Anthony Gordon came from, because he came out of nowhere so quick and he just took it off him. He was away. And that's when he gets into the box and tangle of legs, penalty. And then it's just straightforward after that, isn't it?
Yeah, the obviously goes to VAR, Scott. From my seat, though, you can tell that in the box. Obviously, the new rule in the Premier League is if the contact is made outside of the box, because all rules used to be it's where the first contact is made. Now it's where it ends. So as you can see, players try to extend that a little bit longer. And Gordon, doing what he does best, manages to get in the box and just manages to get that little touch on his heels. And it's Waters, confident as ever, aren't you, when Isak steps up for that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you put your house on it, wouldn't you? It's one of those ones. I don't think I've seen him miss. I've probably jinxed it now, but I don't think I've seen him miss a penalty. He's just a cool character, isn't he? And I'd like to see what happens if Wilson's on the pitch. I don't know what happens there. I think we might see a Chelsea incident where they're fighting over the ball. I'm guessing they've got a designated penalty taker, and I'd probably hazard a guess it's him, because blimey, he doesn't take much of a run up either, which is a weird one. He's just kind of, he knows where he's going to hit it, and he just picks a spot and hits it. Yeah, I mean,
his penalty techniques are, as what you normally say with players, if you look back at the greatest penalty taker of all time, Alan Shearer, he just used to absolutely leather that ball. He's like, it's a completely different approach. We saw the two goals that he scored, I can't remember which one it was, but kind of miskicked the balls. That was two penalties, wasn't it, that he had in one game. And put us to the keeper's right, this time, complete opposite. Like, different height, different pace on the ball. It's a complete different technique, which he has. And that's difficult for a goalkeeper, because you just can't really assess him as a penalty taker.
Yeah, they showed a graphic on the screen on the broadcast, and predominantly to the left, predominantly to the right. It was all over the shop. So he must just wing it. Like, he must just go and decide on the night. I'll pick it there. And it just goes to show the character he is, where he doesn't think about things when he's on the pitch. And he was talking to Rio Ferdinand against the Tottenham game. Like, I've said Rio Ferdinand's name too much in this match preview now. I'll not mention it again. But he must just play the game, as it comes to him. And he must just be a very instinctful character to just kind of take a penalty how and he sees fit, which must be a nightmare for goalkeepers, because obviously they all prepare when it comes to penalties. And they must go, Alexander Isak, and there's just a big question mark on a water bottle. I'll just take a punt.
The fourth goal comes just after that, Daryl. it comes in the 65th minute, just 4 minutes later. And strange own goal to concede. The ball's pinball, and he just tries to flick it away as if he's like a Brazilian flair player in the middle of the field trying to set up a player running through on goal. He just flicks at it behind his heel, and obviously just tucks into the corner just beyond the post as well. And he starts smashing the post. He's not happy. He starts smashing at the post afterwards. Strange moment in the ground, because they give that goal to Bruno. They give Bruno the goal in the ground, and it's a good 5 minutes after the goal's been scored. They go, the goal's been awarded to Bruno, and everybody in that ground is going, we can see that clearly wasn't Bruno's goal. So where they got that from is beyond me.
I think it's just Rob on the PA wants to shout Bruno's name so that everybody else shouts it with him.
It was strange to award it, but obviously, like what you say, it was Osborne that scored that own goal.
It was a tidy finish.
Jose Perez.
It was a great finish. But I know we said earlier on, you could see that all sort of positivity had gone from Sheffield as soon as that hit. I said Newcastle put the foot on the gas even more so when that went in, because honestly, when Callum Wilson comes on, the game just flips again, and it's just constant. You look, every single time we get the ball, we look dangerous, and there was multiple players that had opportunities. Gordon had a chance, Callum Wilson had a chance, which he did score, which was a fantastic finish as well. And yeah, a great ball from Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes comes on, performs once again as that impact sub. Great game for Harvey Barnes when he came on. Like I said, Gordon had a chance, Wilson had a chance. Isaac, they were trying to put that on a plate for Isaac so many times. Like I said before we started recording that, you could tell that the lads wanted for him to get his hat-trick and obviously match those who scored 20 goals this season and go for golden boot. The lads could have probably been a bit more selfish because it could have been a hell of a lot more goals. But I think we're firmly in the driver's seat at that point, and it was just, right, we're going to try and get Isaac to score. Callum Wilson, he could have absolutely smashed the ball at one point. Honestly, it's a goal all day long if Wilson
better
hits
for
that.
Him to take it, yeah.
Wilson, if he wants to take that, he does, and he scores 9 out of 10 times. But unselfishly, he passes to Isaac. Then as soon as Isaac, I think it's a bad first touch, there's two defenders on him straight away, and he just kind of get the ball away from him. And they were having a bit of a joke between each other, him and Wilson, throughout the game where Wilson comes on, because they were just trying to set each other up, and it was just pinballing between the two of them, and nobody wanted to hit it. But it was good to see Daryl, wasn't it? Like, the positivity back in that team there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we said on the preview that we needed this game to get Crystal Palace out of our system. And first half aside, we did. That's exactly what we did. You know, as soon as we got that second goal in the second half and the floodgates just opened, and it's a great way to build up the momentum as we go into these final four games of the season, because is it 4 or 5, whichever one it is. But it's so important now with the games coming up, because as other results sort of show, that we're still in this fight with Man United, and that is basically what it's down to now. It's us and Man United fighting it out for this potential last UEFA Europa League spot, or your Conference League spot, however it's going to pan out. So it's really important that we build this momentum up and keep going, because the important thing about it as well is we've only got one home game left now. And our away form has been so patchy this season that we're going to need to be on the ball for these last three home game away games. And they're not easy. You know, we still have to go to Old Trafford. That's probably going to be the season-defining game. That's probably going to say whether or not we do it.
It's a tough one. It is a tough one. It's a horrible situation to go into, being the away team going into against that team that you're competing with for that spot. And if we just go through our remaining fixtures there, Scott, we have Burnley away on Saturday, then obviously back, like Daryl said, for our last game at St. James's Park this season against Brighton, the away midweek trip to Man United, then to Brentford. It's going to go down to the wire, isn't it?
It is. I think the one thing we do have going for it is our goal difference.
Yeah.
And if it does go down to the wire, you know, and, you know, we're only a point behind Man U at the moment. We've got 18 goals on them in terms of goal difference. That could be the difference that we actually rely on. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, lose or draw all our games. I think there's points that be won. I think there absolutely is. I think, you know, Brentford proved yesterday against, was it Man U they played, wasn't it, that they're no slouches. They got a point.
Burnley, it was Burnley yesterday.
Burnley, sorry.
And we've got to come up against Burnley.
Burnley, yeah, that's where I was going for. It's because you said Brentford at the end there. We've both got to play Brighton. It's weird. We're all kind of playing the same teams. I think Man U have got to play Palace next week.
So Man U's fixture is coming up. So it's Palace, away at Palace. Then they have a home tie against Arsenal. Then obviously it's Newcastle United. Then they have Brighton away as well. Then obviously to end the season, they have the cup final against Manchester City as well, which is going to be in the back of the mind as well. So both of them, like you've said, Scott, it's we're playing the same teams really in that mixture. Obviously we just took a beating off Palace as well just last week. So like I mentioned, it's going to be touch and go. Like
it is. The thing you have to remember is it's in our hands.
Yeah,
is our results, and that's the only thing we can really focus on. We can't really look at Man U and what they do. You've just got to forget about that, and you've just got to focus on yourselves. And that's what Eddie Howe will be saying to the players: just let's not look at Man U's results, apart from our game with Man U. Of course, that's the only one that you can control as much as you can. But you know, you've just got to win the games that you're in, and hopefully. you win the games that you're in. I mean, we saw what happened last season, and I think I said this in our group chat, that Palace game to me was very similar to the Villa away game last season. And that was a catalyst for us to finish that season on a high where we took a bit of a drubbing. We didn't perform very well. It was a game that we expected based on the home fixture that we would win, and we didn't. And look what happened. We went on a bit of a run. This seems to be, hopefully, the start of a run. You know, yes. In fact, we had a bit of a run beforehand. We had two games undefeated before that Palace game. Maybe the Palace game was a blip. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not saying anything on there. I do want to go back to the Wilson goal and mention Harvey Barnes' run. He went through about five players and then managed to dink the ball over to Wilson, which was
lovely.
Outstanding work. And then Wilson did well to control it and put the ball in the back of net. So, yeah, I think credit Harvey Barnes for doing what he did there, because there was a lot of players around him to get. In the centre of the field as well, which is not where you expect Harvey Barnes to be. He's normally out on the wing, so well done to Harvey Barnes for that.
It was a great finish. Honestly, the second half was fantastic. That's what we want to see from the lads. Yes, I think Sheffield were very unlucky not to be a hell of a lot more goals up in that first half, because we did struggle. We can't shy away from that. We struggled, and they took the game to us. And one of their players afterwards had done an interview. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Brooks, maybe. I could be completely wrong. One of them done an interview afterwards, and they said that it's been something of their season to date where they start off games well, then they just struggle towards the end of the game. They struggle, and we saw that. We saw that yesterday. But finishing on a high, a great second half performance from the lads. Like we said, it wasn't just the result which mattered this game. It was a performance as well. And we saw a cracking performance in that second half. Good to have players coming back and being back on the score sheet as well. Daryl Callum Wilson returning, getting on the score sheet. He is now the joint second top goal scorer for Newcastle United, is it?
I think so, yeah. He mentioned in his post-match, his interview that he did for Match of the Day, that he was just behind, he was only Allen ahead of him now. So he's pretty much there in second place. And again, it sort of shows his quality as well, because he's still got goals in him, and we've missed him. We have really missed him in that period that he's been out, because we've had to solely rely on Isak, which hasn't been a bad thing on its own, because we can rely on Isak to bang the goals in. But to have that option to give Isak a little bit of a rest towards the end of the game and bring Wilson on for him. Although, even saying that, I'm contradicting myself, because the last two games he's come on and he's played with Isak. So, you know, it's one of them things. But yeah, it's just really nice to have that option up front.
It's just such a shame that he can't stay fit. It's such a shame, because you can imagine towards the end of the season, he probably will move on in the summer. And it's a shame, because that sort of player, obviously coming towards the latter years of his career, he's fantastic for coming on to the field and changing a game. Like, he's that player that we need to be that second choice striker as well. But you can't have a second choice striker if he's not going to be fit when needed. It's such a shame, because honestly, I'm a big fan of Callum Wilson. I really am. He's a great footballer. He just obviously has his injury concerns. Being a pleasure, it's always good to talk about a thrashing. I said at the start of it, it's a shame that obviously we were the ones that put the final nail in the coffin. It was great just to throw back to the full-time whistle as well. A lot of the Newcastle United fans stayed to both clap Newcastle United off the field, but Sheffield were still on the field at this point, and we stayed back and applauded them off the field as well. Great from our fan base that. Being a pleasure, boys.
We can't leave without mentioning the record-breaking stats that we're getting as well, because that game yesterday, it was the most goals scored against a single Premier League opponent in a single season in the competition's history.
Okay.
So 13 goals across the two games, that's the most anybody's ever scored against one opponent. And what you know, Scott mentioned the Isak record before about being the highest scoring Swede. We're not that far off our record for the most goals scored in a single season either. I think we're only 8 away in terms of home and away, the amount of goals that we've scored. So we can average 2 goals a game for the next 4 games. I think we'll match or even beat it. So we're getting there.
There we are.
Top scoring mags. That's what we are, Dasmo. Top scoring mags. we will be back for another match preview. The Always Smiling Faces podcast will be back on Monday night with myself, Decker, Mark and Bessie as well. We'll go back over the game, other moments in the game, and just a general chat about Newcastle United. Scott, you are going live this afternoon as well. This might be too late by this time. Obviously, people are listening to this one. But tell people what you're going to start doing, Scott.
I just thought I'm going to try and do a bit of live streaming some FIFA or EAFC, whatever it's called. I'm playing it anyway, so I figured I may as well stream it and see what the interest is. So, I'm going to be to do some things where you can evolve Newcastle players and get them a bit higher up. So I've got a few Newcastle players that I want to get higher levels. So I figured I'll go live with that and see if anyone's interested in joining and watching and having a bit of chat while I do that. So I'm not the best FIFA player in the world. I know I'm not selling this very well, but it might be a bit of a laugh. So why not? And I've got the Discord open, so any of the other Gallagher Chat lads can join in and have a little chat with you as well while I'm live. So the door's open for anyone to come and join. That'll be on YouTube this afternoon when I get back in from me little errands that I've got going on this afternoon. So keep an eye out on the Twitter and on the YouTube for a notification of that.
Good luck then. Good luck, Scott.
Cheers. I'm going to need it. I've never done this before. So,
thanks everybody for watching. If you do like this sort of content, just like the video, become a subscriber to the channel. It costs you nothing to do that. If you do want to give a bit back, it is just $2.99 a month to become a member. You do get access to extra videos, early access to videos. You get access to the Telegram group, the Discord group, which Scott just mentioned as well, amongst many other things. So stick by with. We'll be back throughout the week towards the end of the season. Thanks, everybody. See you later. Ta-ra.
Drop.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.